Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
All right, well, listen, we got to get to work here, but before I do, I got one little infomercial. I want to let you know about our upcoming sermon series. We're going to end our series on the book of Luke today. Guess what it's about? Ta-da! Resurrection. But actually, then we're going to take roughly a year after this, and our next sermon series is going to be called Casket Empty. I think we have a slide. Casket Empty, and basically what it is we're going to take almost a year and take you through the entire Bible. And so if you've ever been overwhelmed and just felt like, hey, this is the story, like Kim was referencing the story. Well, what story? And there's a lot of stories out there. And so what we want to do is help you understand the big picture, the meta narrative. And here I'm already going to train you is Casket Empty. It's actually an acronym. So I don't know, for whatever reason, churchgoers, we like acronyms. And C, it stands for creation. All right, and A stands for Abraham, and I'm taking you through the storyline. Then S stands for Sinai, where we get the law. K stands for kings. E stands for exile, and T stands for temple. And then after that, we get into empty, stands for expectation, and M is Messiah. P is for Pentecost, and the church's birth after that. T is for teachings, and then Y is yet to come. And you should be very impressed with that. That took me a while to do that. But anyways, I can tell you're underwhelmed. But listen, it's such an easy thing. And so you're going to understand the big picture of our faith. And here's what I'm going to do, because I'm super uncomfortable. I'm going to take this off, and my lovely assistant/wife is going to do this. You guys saw I dressed up for you today, right? All right, now I feel better. I was grieving the Holy Spirit in that suit. So here, if we're going to understand the meta-narrative of like the story of your Bible or Christ coming and rescuing us, really I've heard it another way as well, is you can think of it as far as three trees. And then you have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which takes us all the way back to Eden, right? And then at the end of the book in Revelation is the tree of life that we all partake of. But in the middle of those two trees stands another tree, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to get right to it because we have an Easter egg hunt to get to. So Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 9, and I got to find it in my notes here. Luke 24, 1 through 9, here it is. Luke 24 reads like this, starting in verse 1, and so this is Jesus has died, gone to the cross, and for the record, if he doesn't get up out of that grave, the Apostle Paul says this, we'll be pitied above all people. But if he does get up out of that grave, that's a game changer. And so we see Jesus goes to the cross, he's put in a grave, and now we see a couple of women are going to anoint his body. Verse 1, it says this, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking spices they had prepared. So who there? That's two Marys and Joanna bringing spices to anoint the body of Jesus. It is the first time we see the Spice Girls in Scriptures. In verse 2, it goes on and it says, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men, we'll find out later these were angels, stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the eleven and to all the rest. So this morning, this will be real brief here, but we're going to answer four questions. We're going to answer three whys and a where this morning. And so the first why is this, why do we search for the living among the dead? Why do we search for life among dead things? The second one is going to be this, is why did Jesus have to die? Like, what does a guy dying 2,000 years ago have to do with me? Why did Jesus have to raise the third day? And then fourthly, we're going to ask this, where are you? Where are you? All right? And so, Lord, I pray great grace this morning as we open up your word and talk. And we thank you in Jesus' name. So let's do this. Question number one. So is this, why do you seek the living from among the dead? Or why do you look for life in dead things? And here's what I knew prepping for this message is, and I'm hoping that there are people in here that you're not a Christian. Like, I'm praying that there's people in here, you do not know Jesus yet. And what happened was someone kept bugging you. Will you come to church? Will you come to church? Will you come to church? And finally today, you just like, Uncle, I'll come. And you're here today. And I want to tell you this. I am so glad you are here with us today. In about 10 days, my family and I, we are going to get on a plane and we are shooting off to Dominican Republic for a little vacation, all right? And you know what's amazing? Like, the great thing about living in New Jersey is anywhere you go is beautiful. Isn't that true? Right? And so we're going to go to the Dominican Republic, and we're going to stay at one of those resorts where they give you a bracelet. You know what I'm talking about? Have you been to one of these places? And then you're just like, wait on me, serve me, right? And listen, I'm a pastor. I serve people all the time. I'm like, I don't care. Do this for me. Do that for me. And I'm going to do that. And here's the reality is we're going to go, and it's going to be amazing for about 3 days. Like that first day we get there and we look at the Caribbean, we're going to be like, good night. That is amazing. And then we go to the resort and you go to where you eat the food and there's like every kind of food imaginable. And you're just like, shut the front door. This is amazing, you know? And we're so excited about everything. And then, you know what? We're going to have this routine and it's going to be get up, food, pool, food, ocean, nighttime, repeat. Over and over and over again. And here's what's going to happen. About day four, it's going to get old. And we're going to be like, hey, haven't we done this before? Pool, food. And it's going to start to get old and old. And the reason why I reference that, if you'll find, like, most of the stuff that we chase after, it really does get old. Like, if you're not a Jesus person in here today, you know, a lot of us, man, we're just living for the weekend. Thank God it's Friday, right? Time to worship. And so we'll go to the bars and do that. So it's work, party, bar, recover, work, repeat over and over. And doesn't it just after a while, if you just take notice, you'll realize, hey, we've been here before. This is just Groundhog Day again. And so it's been my experience that, like, happiness and joy, at times it just feels like it's elusive. Like, it's just that carrot right out in front of us, isn't it? And you never quite get there. So you're on the treadmill chasing this thing that you can never quite get your hands on. And it starts at an early age, right? You're in elementary school, and man, if I just get to middle school, then my life's going to be amazing. You get to middle school, and then you're like, man, if I could just get to high school. Well, once I get out of this lame high school and get to college, then we're going to be somebody. And then you get out of college, you're like, man, if I could just get a job. And then you're like, man, I'd be happy if I just got another job, right? Get rid of that job. And you know what I'm lacking? I need a spouse. And then you get a spouse. Man, if I could just get rid of this spouse and get another spouse, right? And things would be amazing in my life. Then you want kids, and you're like, man, if I could just have a kid, you have kids. And then you're like, if these kids would just get out of the house, man, then my life would have meaning, and then we'd die. Happy Easter, right? And so there's stuff. Or how about, listen, I'm not, like, dishonest. Like, sometimes things are amazing. Like, you get some stuff, and for a moment, It satisfies. Like, it feels really good. Like, new stuff is cool. Like, ladies, you know, you get that new outfit and you're like, pow, look at me, man. And you just feel beautiful in that thing. But then what? You wear it a couple times and they've seen me in this. And now what? Fellas, I have nothing to wear, right? Or then you get that new car. Dottie neglected to mention to you that she defiled that beautiful new car by putting a pink pinstripe on the side of it, okay? But that's neither here nor there, all right? And so how about this? You get a new song. I don't know if you're like me. I get a new song, and I just play the mess out of that thing. And it's amazing and moving for about 2 days, and then I'm like, oh, I hate that song now, right? And so my point is this. We keep going to things and try to draw life from them, sustaining life, and they can't do it because they're not alive. They're dead things. So to try to pull life from dead things is foolish and crazy. And so C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said this, if I find in myself a longing that nothing in this life can satisfy, maybe I was made for a different kind of life. And you were. That you and I were made for relationship with Almighty God. The scripture would say it this way, that you and I were born into this world with a God-sized hole. And nothing that we put in it can satisfy or sustain us but the eternal one, God himself. And so I'm hoping there's some unbelievers in here, and I'm hoping to change that today. But as well, I know there's also some CEO Christians in here today. Christmas and Easter only. Anybody? It's okay. Come on, I was one of those. Christmas and Easter only. And so we're glad you're back. All right? After it's been a while. But for you, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm trying to shame you. It's very different. So No. But for you, you go to church, and church, it just feels boring and irrelevant. And if I'm going to shoot you straight, that was my story. I grew up in the Catholic faith, and I went to Catholic school. And don't mishear me this morning. I have Catholic brothers and sisters, family, love them dearly. I believe they're going to be with me in heaven. But when I went, I would do all the stuff, and I just felt empty. And even at 11 years old, I could go to that and I go, there has got to be more to it than this. And I want to encourage you, if that's you today, there is more. And so here's something weird. So just for some of us, so if we have first-time guests, I wasn't the normal transition. I didn't go to seminary and that kind of stuff, but I did. I played pro hockey for about 14 years. I got to get a real job now. But here's the thing. You know what's crazy? I've been retired since 2002, and do you know I still get regular fan mail? I get about 3 to 4 pieces of fan mail every month, and I can show you some of the hockey cards. They're really amazing. So here's one. So thank you. It's me sitting on the bench. but not to be outdone, we have another one, like with getting a puck in the face. Like, thank you? Like, that's the best shot you could come up with, sitting on the bench or getting a puck in the face. And here's what I do. People literally, like, I got people writing from Europe and all these things, and it's the same letter every time, bar none. Dear Mr., and then there's a blank, Bert, you are my favorite player. I think you were amazing when you played. Please sign my card and send it back to me. All right? And the reason why I reference that is I think many of us, we're just fans of Jesus. Like you're here today, and you just, every now and then, you'll kind of touch in with Jesus. Jesus, I'm a fan. Love what you did on that cross and that you rose again. Will you give me heaven? Sincerely, write in your name. So you're here today. You just got these little touches, and God wants so much more for you. Like, God is not looking for fans. He's looking for family. He's looking for friends, relationship with him. And so if you ever pay attention to the scriptures, you know what's amazing? Heaven is less about a place, and it's more about a person. That he says this, that in the Gospel of John, it says, this is eternal life, that you might know the Father. And so Jesus came to restore that relationship with us. And it's Notre Dame, right, in Paris. My wife and I, we got to actually go visit there about 4 years ago. And we went, and you get to see all the intricate parts of this unbelievable cathedral. It's Gothic and epic, and you go there. But here's the reality. When all that stuff burns to the ground, you know, there's only one thing that matters. And I found it interesting. We have the picture of that, that at the end of the day, it was the cross of Jesus Christ that remained. And that is the primary thing. Because that cross of Christ is what gets you to the Father and reconciles us back to God. So here's question number two this morning is, why did Jesus have to die? And so in other words, what does a dude dying 2,000 years ago have to do with me? And I'm glad you asked, because that's what's in my notes. Here's the reality. You ready for this? Get your notes out. Get ready to put this down. You're a sinner. Again, happy Easter. And listen, so am I. Sinner is not like a word like kind of we throw around too much, but really it just means that we're lawless. that there's a lawlessness to us, a rebellion towards law. And I could tell by looking at some of your faces, you didn't go to seminary. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, let's just see, all right? So we're going to do a little experiment. So we're going to take the Ten Commands. We know the Ten Commandments, right? And so anyone ever tell a lie in here, right? Yeah. If you did not raise your hand, it's at least your second lie, all right? I do not want you to raise your hands here, but men, ever look at a woman lustfully? Me neither, right? Bible says that's adultery, all right? Now, those of you that are drivers and you're driving, and you get that person in the right-hand lane doing 30, right, or the left-hand lane doing 30, and you're just about ready to lose your mind, that's called anger. And anger, God equates that to murder, all right? So how are we doing in our little test? And so if you still don't think that you're a lawbreaker, let me do this. Have you ever broke your own laws? Right? I did it last night. I am not going to eat that. Right? 10 o'clock at night, the whole sleeve of Oreos, right? And so I will not look at that. I will not say that. I will go to the gym. And what do? We break our own commands. We can't even keep those. You want me to still go? Keep going? It's Easter. Let's keep doing this, all right? Any speeders in here? Anyone speed? Text while they drive? The trifecta? Speed and text at the same time, and then you almost crash, airbags deploy, and curse words come out of your mouth, right? Have I pretty much nailed everybody in the room here? And so here's the reality. If you're a Christ follower in here this morning, sinner is no longer your identity. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. But it is your reality that you could, if you examine your life, you'll still see that you have the struggle with sin. And so if you're an unbeliever in here this morning and you believe that Christians are hypocrites, it's because we are. Because we hold ourselves to a standard of the perfection of Christ, and yet there's moments when we fall short. All right? And so, listen, I've heard it say this. Have you ever met that person and they're like, hey, they're a good guy. They're a good girl. And they're like, surely God is going to let them into heaven. You know, they're good people. But here's what we mean when we say somebody's good. We mean that they're mostly good, don't we? We mean they're mostly good. And so here's what I mean. So I'll illustrate it this way. My wife and I, we do date night. And so there's a sushi restaurant we go to near our house. It's a BYOB. And so we bring a bottle of wine. And if you think that's sinful, it's not. White wine is sinful, but we drink Cabernet. And so we bring that. We bring that bottle of wine. And then we're going to have this, our romantic weekly dinner. And the waitress comes over and she's like, oh, are you out with your daughter tonight? To which that did not start out the way I thought. So for all the times I bang on my wife for being much older than me, now we're even, right? But so then she's like, would you like me to open your bottle of wine? And I'm like, yes, of course. And so she gets the cork thing out, and she's like, bah, bah, bah. She does her thing, bam, fires that thing open. And then she sees that there's a little bit of cork still in there. And this woman is like, down there trying to, got it. Right? And so now you realize I'm at a point of no return here, you know? So it's like, I don't know where that finger's been. And so I start reasoning to myself, I'm sure it's mostly clean, right? And if you're wondering, yes, I drank the bottle of wine, all right? Not the entire bottle, but I did drink the wine. And if you think that's gross, it is. Aren't you glad I'm not God, all right? And so God is not coming back for a mostly good people. He's coming back for a holy people. And here's the reality. None of us are. There's none holy but one. And his name was Jesus, the Christ. And so there's a debt to be paid for our lawlessness and sin. We owe God something. And so my question for us today is, how will you pay him? How will you repay your debt to God for all your lawlessness and sin? And so for some of us, we'll say, I'll do good works. I'll do good things. But I hate to break this to you. The Bible says this, that our good works, they're like filthy rags before a holy God. Whoops. Well, then you tell them, well, I'll just do better. And here's what I would ask you is this. There is not a judge on the planet that if you were to stand before him in your sin, in your lawlessness, and you tell him, I'll do better next time, if he has an ounce of integrity, he'd let you go. You remember there's a guy named Larry Nassar? Remember this guy abducted 250 girls, right? And he stood before the judge, and if he says, hey, I'll just do better. You know, how many know that doesn't hold water? Dude got 175 years, and I think we'd agree, but that's probably not even enough, all right? And so the same way, we can't stand before God. So God says this, the wages of sin is death. God's in this conundrum that we deserve death, but he so dearly loves us. And so what does he do? He puts his perfect son, Jesus, on the cross on our behalf. And see, Jesus, he hung on that cross for you and I. Sin put him on that cross. But you know what it was? It was the love for you and me that kept him on that cross for us until he died and breathed his last breath. And he says this, it's finished. But that there's more to the story. And we got to answer our third question this morning. And that's this, why did Jesus raise on the third day? And so I'm not sure how many follow this, but you know, numbers are significant in the Bible. So 12 is like the number of government. We got 8 new beginnings. 6 is the number of man. And so 3 is the number of completion or perfection. And so we get God. God is 3 in 1. He's Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, complete in himself. If you look at your Old Testament, do you remember there were 3 patriarchs? Do you remember their name? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You look to the New Testament, there were 3 that were closest to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. If you pay attention to your life, we all know that there's 3 musketeers, right? That there's what? 3 stooges. We even know that there's 3 Charlie's Angels, okay? And so we know that that's the number of completion. And so on the third day, the price for your redemption and mine was completed. It was paid for. And so this last example I'll give to you. So the resurrection is going to let us know that life swallowed up death. And so I don't know if this is, please work with me here. I don't know if this is everyone's story. This is my story. So has anyone ever gotten a leg cramp in the middle of the night? Could I just see, have you ever got one? And so, do you guys know that experience? It's like you're in the middle of the night, and suddenly a great white shark grabs a hold of your leg and won't let go. And do you guys know what happens? You start flailing and moving around, and then your spouse is like, what in the world is going on? My spouse is demon-possessed. Or epileptic seizure, like, what are we doing here, honey? And then you're just spinning around like you're on fire, grabbing your leg. But here's something that I learned, a little tip here, this is for free, that when your muscle seizes up like that in a cramp, you know what you're to do? You're to grab hold of that and crush your fingers into that thing. Because what happens is, as you press into it, the muscle becomes exhausted, and then it must let go. And Jesus, he goes into the grave, and he presses into death, hell, and the grave, and it grabbed hold of him for 3 days. It's the earth began to shake until suddenly it had to let him go. And death suddenly was exhausted for you and for me. On that day, death died for you and I. And here's the great thing is this. Now, for you and I, if you're in Christ today, death is nothing more than a wardrobe change. That's all it is. The Bible would say this, that we take our perishable bodies and we put on the imperishable. That you and I, we're going to get some new duds in glory. We get resurrected bodies. Fellas, look at me in my face. We're going to have abs, all right, with the resurrected body. I just want you guys to know that, all right? And so for those of us in Christ, the resurrection means this, that hope springs eternal for us. That for you and for me, that this is as bad as anything will ever get. But if you don't know Jesus this morning, this is as good as it will ever get. And so my prayer is that we'd be able to change that. And then here's the other thing is why guess about where you spend eternity? You know what I mean? We have Starbucks cards waiting for you at the back for our first-time guests. And listen, have you ever done that thing where you go to you got your gift card, you have no idea how much money's on it, and so you get that grande, it's like $9 or something like that, and you're like, come on, let there be enough, right? And so how crazy is it that we would gamble our eternity, want to guess, I hope I did enough good stuff to get in. Man, we don't need to guess. Jesus paid it all. If you will receive, he has done for you and for me.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.